This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
By disseminating CEO wisdom, the CEO Show elevates business, the economy, and society.
Hello, America. I'm Robert Reese, and welcome to the CEO Show. We're here today with Mohamed Kande. How are you, Mohamed?
Very good, thank you. How about yourself?
Good. And considering the whole pandemic we're going through, and Mohamed is the vice chairman of PwC US. So you have a different perspective because your job is actually advising CEOs, Mohamed. So I speak with CEOs every day, and what they're telling me is they're trying to plan how they can strategically emerge stronger after this crisis. So you did a study about the winners and losers of the 2008 Great Recession. What lessons did you learn from that study, and how are you advising CEOs so they can emerge stronger post-pandemic?
Yeah, thanks for the question. So I would say that one of the learnings that we have had from the last recession in 2008 was that the winners coming out of the recession were the companies led by CEOs that were able to accelerate to the last downturn. And that acceleration was across multiple dimensions. CEOs needed to make sure that they had the right cost structure in their companies because it was important for them to understand that it was and it was really important for them to run the companies with the right level of efficiencies. And they also, not only when it comes to process efficiencies and organizational efficiencies, they use technology to become very efficient. So a lot of the companies that we have seen that could accelerate through the downturn were companies that were able to use technology to change their cost structure and the cost of running the companies per se. That was the first thing. The second thing that we saw was that the CEOs were able to use technology to change the business model that they have as far as how could they leverage technology to better serve the customers, the end customers. And it makes a huge difference because many of your companies find a way to better serve the customers, to make sure that they had the ability to use multiple channels to serve these customers. So investment in technology was prime. Third, many of the companies that were able to accelerate to the downturn were all around investing and making acquisition for either talent or for technology that they needed to reshape the portfolio of products and services that they offered. And lastly, they invested a lot in the people to ensure that they upgraded the talent that they had internally and that they were able to acquire additional talent from outside. So a recession, what we have seen is an opportunity for CEOs to accelerate their strategies by leveraging technology, being able to make investments, but also making sure that they have the right people like you're joining the companies or upgrading their skills to be able to execute the strategy. So we actually see recession as an opportunity rather than a threat for many of our clients.
And when you look at this current crisis we're in with COVID-19, what would you advise CEOs to do based on what you learned? And when you're talking about accelerating, it's scary because no one really knows at all what the future will be like. So how do you know what to accelerate?
Nobody knows what the future is going to look like, but there's a couple of things are given in the sense that the move to the cloud is going to be, it's no longer an option to move to the cloud or not. And we have seen a lot of companies thinking about the digital transformation. And digital transformation was the purview of large corporations, mainly. But now when you see with the COVID crisis today, most of the corporations have to be able to be run in a remote fashion or virtually. And the only ability that they have today is really to make sure that the operations of companies are run by leveraging the cloud. Then they can have all the virtual environment by which their employees can be productive. So that acceleration is a must. It is a given because any company that was thinking about whether they needed to go embark into digital transformation to run the company, to run the operations, they know that there is no choice today, especially in an environment where people cannot go to the office per se. That is the first thing. The second thing, that acceleration, is to figure out for companies to understand how they can use digital technologies today to serve the customers, whether it is to market the products and services, to price the products and services, to deliver them, to support them, and to take care of the customers. Today, access to customers, access to clients has to be done through digital means. So the acceleration of digital transformation, not only for the back office, but for what we call the front office, to better serve customers, is now a must. Because if people are not able to need to transact with companies in the future, they will have to do it in a way that is frictionless or contactless. The only way you do this is through digital channels.
So let's talk about where this is going and the fourth industrial revolution. So do you believe that COVID-19 will slow down the increase in progress that we're making, or it will increase it? And what innovations are you really seeing that might happen, say, within the next decade?
I actually think that the COVID-19 crisis will accelerate the fourth industrial revolution. Let me give you a couple of examples. For example, we talk about cloud, we talk about artificial intelligence. One example around the ability to better serve customers, the ability to run companies in a very different way, but also the ability to have access to data. As we all know, artificial intelligence has been around for decades. The thing that was not available was data, because you need data to actually get the benefits of artificial intelligence. The cloud has given us the ability to store data and to have access to massive amount of data. Now artificial intelligence is now relevant to how companies are using artificial intelligence either to run their businesses or to better serve their customers. So we know that that acceleration, the adoption of artificial intelligence, it will increase. Why? Because as companies move to the cloud, they have access to more data. As they have access to more data, they will be able to get the benefits of artificial intelligence. Let me give a couple of other examples. Robotics. Now, there were questions around how robotics can be used in the manufacturing environment. Now, many companies today that are in the products business, that are manufacturing products, are now thinking about how to use robotics to replace people in the manufacturing environment, especially when people cannot actually go to the factory floor. Another acceleration point. Think about drones for delivery. We all know that many of us now working remotely know that package delivery has seen a massive increase around the country today. Now, there are a lot of studies today around how drones can help not only to ensure that, packages can be delivered, but they can be used also in power and utilities for the monitoring of power lines, you name it. So we actually see a lot of use cases that were already starting over the past couple of years around the use of technology like drones, robotics, 3D printing also is the same. Again, how supply chains are going to evolve. All of these technologies now are being considered to think about how companies can change how they run the business in the future, how manufacturing can be done in a very different way, how the delivery of packages can be done in a different way, and how assets can be maintained in the field by leveraging technology. So we actually see now the COVID-19 crisis that has pretty much kept people at bay, at home or, without the ability to do the work that they were supposed to do, including the manufacturing floor. We're now seeing that technology is going to be actually a big, big lever that companies will have to pull if they want to continue to run their businesses.
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, where we interview the CEOs who have led the fabric of America and of the world. We are speaking right now with Mohamed Kande, who is the vice chair of PwC US. And what we're hearing so far is that both front and back office are essential, because you will need frictionless customer experience in the future. We're also hearing about robotics and AI and, things like Roxo, for example, that FedEx is doing. And that's actually, there's no worry of those robots getting COVID-19. So there's actually an advantage there that could happen. And we're certainly hearing how things are going to accelerate. So now we're about to take a commercial break. If you have any advice before the break, after the break, we're going to hear about leadership, but just one sentence of advice of what CEOs should do right now and how they should look at technology and transformation, but only 1 minute.
In 1 minute, first, every CEO should be able to increase their own digital or technology acumen. They need to understand what technology is and also how technology can benefit the way they're currently running their businesses. Second, they have to surround themselves with people that have an understanding of technology, but not the technologies of the past, but the technologies of the future.
And there you have it. We are about to take a break. Mohammed, when we come back, we're going to hear about an interesting concept in leadership called transcenders. So back in a few.
Would you like to host your own radio program or podcast? Park City Productions 06604 is a Bridgeport, Connecticut-based radio broadcast solutions company. Follow us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's Park City Productions 06604. Call us at 203-522-8888.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, and we're here today with Mohammed Conde, who is the vice chairman of PwC US. I've always believed, Mohammed, that great leadership is revealed during crisis. You have a concept called transcenders, and talk about what the leadership principles embody and how that philosophy can be harnessed during COVID-19 by CEOs.
So a couple of things about what we believe are the transcenders and the leadership principles that they need to display. The first one is to listen. Listening to the environment, listening to the people, but also listening to trends that they see in the market. And one of the common traits that we have seen with transcenders is that they tend to be system thinkers. They look at data points coming from multiple directions and try to understand what will be the implication of all the strength on the way they run the businesses and how they can serve the customers better, right? That is the first thing, the ability to listen and to listen to technology trends, to business trends, you name it, right? That is the first thing. The second thing, we have seen that transcenders are able to surround themselves with people that provide a diversity of background. And when I say diversity of background, it's diversity of thinking, because to be able to evolve in the midst of the crisis, it means that things will need to change. And transcenders are people that have the agility to change because they seek information and they surround themselves with people that will challenge the status quo, not people that manage the status quo. And they're the ones that know how to make decisions very quickly, even sometimes with incomplete information, because they know how to take risk. One of the things also that we are seeing about transcenders is that the transcenders have been able to really understand how to innovate. But it's business model innovation. It's not products and services. It's not about the next product category. It's not about the next services. It's about how do they innovate the way they're going to run the business. How do they innovate their own business model? They are the disruptors of their industries. And crisis, when you get into a crisis environment like COVID, we are going to see a lot of disruption coming into the economy with new players, new challengers that will emerge because they will have the best ability to leverage technology in the way that we have not seen before. It has happened in 2008. It did happen in 2001 when we had the the last crisis have created now a generation of companies that have disrupted a lot of industries, and we believe that something will happen today. And the transcenders would be the CEOs that are able to lead the companies to be the disruptors.
And it sounds like the transcenders will be building culture of innovation.
A culture of innovation, but also a culture that accepts failure. That is the other thing. Failures need to be seen in a very positive way. Failure needs to be celebrated because if we are adverse to failing, basically we're not trying hard enough. And transcenders know that it's okay to fail. And what we have also seen that transcenders have failed a lot, and they learn from it.
So let's now talk about PwC. You went through this transformation in 2018, new world, new skills. Talk about how that prepared you for the remoteness and for the pandemic we're in the change of work structure, which you've already spoken about.
The first thing that we had to do at PwC about 5 years ago was to digitize our own operations, which means that we needed to make sure that all of our back office functions were run on the cloud. So we embarked into a massive digital transformation initially within PwC to ensure that we leverage the benefits of technology, the benefit of the cloud, the benefit of automation to change the way we are basically how we run our business. And as you can imagine, in the, you know, in the U.S., we have 55,000 people, but globally it's more than 260,000 people. So we needed to digitize our business first. The second thing after digitizing our infrastructure was, for lack of a better term, to digitize our people. Because people use technology. The technology doesn't work by itself. People need to use the technology. People need to adopt the technology. If we want to actually get the benefits of technology will be reaped based on the adoption of technology by people. So what we needed to do for us when we think about new world and new skills was to embark into a digital upskilling program worldwide for PwC to ensure that our people were digitally savvy, that we increased the digital acumen of our people to make sure that they had the ability not only to adopt technology and all the technology tools that we're putting in their hands, but also to create that culture of innovation, that culture of agility, so that when it came to innovation at PwC doesn't come from leadership. Innovation comes from everybody. So all of the new ideas around how do we automate how we run our business today, how should we use technology to run our business differently, it's not coming from leadership having improvement initiative that mandate to the rest of the business. No, it is coming from our people. It is coming from our staff. So the digital upskilling of our people have done two things, adoption of technology and a culture of innovation, where innovation is pretty much grassroots. And we changed completely how we're running our company today. And we have that agility and ability to basically change how we run our business by leveraging technology as much as we can. Now, new world, new skills for us to make sure that the technology platform or the digital upskilling platform that we built for ourselves to upskill our people, we made it available for the rest of the world.
What do you believe that CEOs need to focus on? If you are the doctor of companies and PwC is, what should they be focusing on right now?
There is no such thing as taking more time to really adjust or really ensure that every company now is run in a way that is most efficient. No additional cost overruns, not adopting technology, this is no longer an option. And the reason why we believe it is important that the cost, making sure that companies are being run in a cost-efficient manner, it's very important because it will unleash investment capacity. So the cost saving that company needs to be able to generate needs to be reinvested in the company, reinvested into technology. Because as we mentioned at the beginning of the discussion, companies will have to change the way they treat the customers today, the way they access customers, the way they serve them, and the way they create a differentiated customer experience. It is going to cost money. It's going to require capital to invest into all of the front office technology that will be required to ensure that post-COVID-19, companies can be resilient. Companies can continue to deliver against shareholders' objectives. So we believe that cost efficiency is a must to generate investment capacity. Investment in technology is also going to be a must because that's what is going to help companies be taking care of their customers in the future. There are the remedies that we believe that if most of the CEOs are able to execute against this different vectors, I think the future will be bright. And I will also say that do not forget the human capital angle. In the process of all the technology investment, people need to also be digitally upskilled so they can adopt technology.
On that note, Mohammed, I want to thank you. A pleasure for your inspirational message to the CEOs. Everyone listening, there's two things to really remember for starts. Number one is you need a diversity of people, a diversity of thought, because the innovation comes from people. And now more than ever, innovation is essential. And the number two, every CEO must increase their technology acumen. On that note, see you next week on the CEO Show.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a 4-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once per year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from 6 different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal Hair Care System is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hello, America.
America. I'm Robert Reese, and welcome to CEO Show. We're here today with John Davidson. How are you, John?
I'm very well. Glad to be here.
And John is CEO of Options Clearing Corporation. Now,
that's correct.
A lot of people have heard OCC, but in fairness, I don't think everyone knows exactly what it does. It was founded in 1973. Just give a snapshot of why it was founded and what its role is in our economy.
Sure. Well, back in 1973, prior to 1973, options were only traded on an as-needed basis over the counter. And what happened was the folks in Chicago, then at the Chicago Board of Trade, decided, wouldn't it be an interesting idea to trade options the same way we trade stocks on an organized exchange? And in order to do that, in order to make the exchange auction process work, you have to have a central counterparty that really levels the credit worthiness of all the participants. It becomes the buyer to every seller and the seller to every buyer. And so in 1973, the same time in April of 73, when the first listed options market began trading, so too the OCC began. And then about a year and a half later, the American Stock Exchange said, well, these options are doing pretty well trading on an exchange. Why don't we trade those here in New York as well? And so the American Stock Exchange became the second entrant into the exchange-traded options business. And the Securities and Exchange Commission, in their wisdom, said, well, if you're going to start and join, let's just have a single clearinghouse, as opposed to what the stock exchanges had at that point in time. There were 8 regional stock exchanges around the country, including obviously the 2 large ones here, but each of them had its own central clearinghouse and its own central securities depository. Eventually, they all consolidated into the National Securities Clearing Corporation, as well as the Depository Trust Company, both based here in New York, that serve all of the exchanges. But the SEC said for options, we want to keep a single central counterparty, and the OCC became that.
So with the options, your role, talk about how you help create liquidity.
Sure. Well, creation of liquidity is really the fundamental responsibility of the central counterparty, because we allow people to trade with each other without having to make an assessment of each individual potential counterparty's creditworthiness. So you can have a market clearing single price. The national best bid, best offer is based on the fact that I don't have to worry about that small firm being on the other side of my trade as opposed to one of those large firms, because the party on the other side of my trade is always the OCC. And the OCC's creditworthiness is a matter of public record. We have a very rigorous system of admission. We have about 115 broker-dealers that are clearing members. Each of them had to pass and continue to pass a rigorous set of financial standards to join. We calculate margin requirements for the portfolios of options that they hold every day. And we also have a mutualized clearing fund, a default fund of currently a little over $10.5 billion that guarantees the performance of all of those clearing members. So through that system, the market makers that are a very important part of the options markets have the confidence to provide liquidity even in situations, as we've seen in the last couple of weeks, where there's a fair amount of market volatility. That's the role of the OCC as a central counterparty.
So it sounds like on the surface, well, you're creating more risk because you're allowing people with less risk, but actually you've gone through all the due diligence of everything and you have the deep liquidity, so that's how it's actually removing risk and allowing the economy to move forward.
That is exactly correct. And if you think about what we do is concentrate risk. So you generally say, well, that might not be a good thing. The Dodd-Frank Act for all of the good and
sure
not so
if
good
you,
things.
If you want to generate significant wealth, they'll always tell you it's all about concentration
all
and
about
then
concentration.
Diversification when you want to.
So we are determined by the federal government and our regulators to be a systemically important financial markets utility. That means we have to meet very high standards, both with respect to our financial integrity, but also with respect to our operations, the systems that we run, the data centers in which we run those systems. And we're inspected very frequently by both the Securities and Exchange Commission, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, with prudential oversight by the Federal Reserve Board.
And so let's say if you're working with all the 115 broker-dealers, and of course you're of great value to them, but how about to CEOs? Now, how does a CEO, and I know they might be on the board or they may have investments in their pension fund, but what is the real value to CEOs of OCC?
Well, options are fundamentally a risk management tool. So CEOs typically are very concerned about how their securities will trade in the marketplace, regardless of which of the major markets they list their securities on. And options allow those underlying securities transactions to happen more efficiently and more effectively. So CEOs are very interested, I think, in the different risk management techniques that are available to the market makers who are assuring high levels of liquidity both on the stock and the options markets, the access of institutional investors. So if, for example, a pension fund manager has a very large incoming tranche of funds to manage, they may hedge that incoming tranche of fund before they actually get it through the options markets so they can guarantee a particular price for that portfolio. So all of these risk transfer techniques happen because of the role of the OCC. And a lot of what happens at the OCC is quite similar to what's going on in the major corporations and even the not-so-major corporations around the country. We are trying to attract and retain talent. Between a third and a half of our 800 people in the workforce are technologists. And there are, as people know, just an unlimited number of opportunities these days for people with solid technology skills. We have a very important mission to make sure that our technology is well protected from all of the things that go out in the cyber universe.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
And so making sure
and
that
political
we
political risk as well.
Political risk impacts the markets, absolutely,
yeah.
in unexpected ways. And consequently, the ability to make sure there's enough liquidity.
And what's called conduct risk as well.
Conduct risk is something that I think each of us as a CEO needs to really be concerned about, which is what is it that our people are doing? Are we watching what our people are doing with a sufficient robustness? And really, what is it that they're doing when they don't think anyone's looking? And really, that comes from tone from the top. The CEO and the standards that she or he sets the tone for the organization, drives the culture, and determines what is acceptable conduct and what is not.
And in such a fiduciary responsibility, what is your core philosophy as a CEO? And we'll talk more after the break, but start us off.
Well, my core philosophy is you always have to act yourself with the highest level of integrity. You have to have a high level of intellectual curiosity, and you have to have a very high EQ, an emotional quotient in addition to your intellectual quotient. I think with those three things, you can really have success, obviously not so much for yourself, but for the organization that you're responsible to your shareholders for running.
Okay, and you're evolving as an organization to to really change and become an influential advocate. Talk about that, and you have a minute before break.
Sure. So we have a very important role because we're owned by the five major exchanges in the options trading business, and all of the exchanges that trade options use our facilities. In working with the legislative component on Capitol Hill, as well as the various regulators, in making sure they are taking the best interests of the investing public and the market structure in the U.S. and making regulatory and legislative changes that facilitate the continuation of the United States as the deepest and most liquid capital markets in the world.
We're about to take a break. Thank you, John. When we come back, we're going to talk about something near and dear to your heart, which is D&I. So, back in a few. By disseminating CEO wisdom, the CEO Show elevates business, the economy, and society.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles. My crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool.
Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. You just put it on your finger and go.
Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. Turning 40, I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, and we're here with John Davidson, who is the CEO of Options Clearing Corporation. And we've been talking about the role that you have and the importance of our economy and to CEOs in specific. As a leader here, I know you started talking about your leadership philosophy of integrity, but I know that D&I is really important to you in terms of diversity and inclusion.
Absolutely. If you think about what people in the capital markets, what people in the investing markets generally need to do, they need to help the rest of the people in the country find investments that can help them meet their personal needs. That might be putting their children through college, that might be purchasing a home, any of a number of things. In order to customize the products that people need for those various needs, as well as the products that institutional investors, pension funds, mutual funds, exchange-traded funds need, you have to have a whole variety of different approaches. Those different approaches are most available if you have a diverse number of perspectives in your organization. I don't think there's any such thing as a bad question. I don't think there's any such thing as not wanting to understand the perspective of another person, and even if you don't happen to agree with it. We need to do a number of different things. My wife's also a professional, but she's a professional in the residential real estate business. So she could essentially set her own hours, and that worked great for raising our two children. But not everybody has those choices, and we need to make ways that women and men, for that matter, can leave the workforce for a point in time, come back when their family situation or taking care of their elder parents situation changes, and bringing them seamlessly out of and into the workforce without making them sort of start over again from a career perspective. All of those challenges, I think, are part of the diversity and inclusion formula that we need to work on.
And so let's talk about the whole transformation at OCC. You had a great CEO prior to you, Craig Donahue, and you've had a lot of vision of how you're transforming the organization, and one of the keys here is diversity and inclusion. What are the other leadership tenets?
Well, I think Craig did a great job of starting us on the transformation role. Certainly, there were a number of years that, for a variety of reasons, the OCC did not make sufficient investments in modernizing its technology. So fundamental to the transformation of OCC is replacing our 20-year-old technology. It's actually actually very strong, robust technology. It is volume insensitive. We have no control over how much trading goes on the 16 different exchanges that we provide service for. So we can handle increases of volume very easily. We run our operation from a data center in Dallas, Texas, just outside Dallas, Texas, and another one in the Chicago metropolitan area. They back each other up, so we have a high level of resiliency, but we don't have a lot of flexibility. And as the financial engineering part of the world has advanced, there are additional techniques for managing the risk of these very large options portfolios, and we need to be able to accommodate those into our environment. So a large part of our transformation is technology-based. We're working with a very strong partner, actually one of our owners, NASDAQ, recently purchased a small technology firm in Stockholm called Cinnober, and NASDAQ is working, co-developing with us a lot of the core elements of this technology.
Is a lot of it in the cloud then?
We will be moving.
I'm thinking because of the storage.
Yes, so we will be moving from these two on-premises data centers into a cloud environment. Now, the cloud environment, as you say, is significantly cheaper. The economies of scale that the Amazons and the Googles and the IBMs can bring is simply phenomenal. But you still have the responsibility yourself as a CEO to make sure that what goes on in those data centers is controlled by the people on your team, and that you understand all of the information security protections that are being put in place, and that you make the right decisions about how you set that up. So the cloud gives you a lot of abilities, but it doesn't take away your responsibilities for understanding the technology environment and making sure you've got really good talent on your team to leverage what the Amazons or the Googles or the IBMs can do in terms of the scale and the investments they make.
Okay, so let's talk about like 2008. What, you know, the entire financial debacle. What are you doing to ensure that something like that doesn't happen again? This is what everyone wants to know, of course.
Yes, so I actually joined Citigroup in April of 2008, and I didn't, in the risk management department, didn't really have a good understanding.
You're one of the few CEOs who has the risk management background, which is interesting, too.
I came up the operations risk and compliance channel. Not the revenue generating channel, so I have a bit of a different perspective. Look, I don't think you can figure out what the next financial crisis is going to be. You can figure out that there's definitely going to be one, but all of past history has shown that it will be different than what happened in 2008. So we have to have much more robust infrastructure. And I think the U.S. government and the governments in Europe and Asia have done a really good job with making sure institutions like OCC are held to a very high standard of integrity, both in terms of their operations, but also in the way they conduct themselves. We have to make sure that banks and broker-dealers have the right level of capital. Not crazy levels of capital that actually deter people from making investments or providing liquid markets, but enough capital to cover not only the risks that they can see, but the unknown risks, the so-called black swans that are pretty far out the distribution curve. And if we do those things well and keep track of how we're leading our companies and making sure people understand the importance of their conduct, because there were an awful lot of conduct flaws during the financial crisis, just before and even after. And that's really, it seems to me, having strong infrastructure, having robust but not overstrenuous capital rules, making sure people understand all of the risks, including cyber risk, which is a growing issue for everyone and certainly one which we pay a lot of attention to. That's the success, not of avoiding the next financial crisis, but being able to manage our way through it without the sort of impact on the rest of the economy that occurred with the 2008 crisis.
On that note, John, a pleasure having you on the CEO show.
Well, thank you very much. I've enjoyed being here.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.